right tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it. Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, we have the amazing Rowan Robertson, one of the key guys in heavy metal guitar playing. Also, special guests Phil Chen, bass player for Jeff Beck, Rod Stewart, and many others, and Kenji Oda, sitar and acoustic guitar played with Ravi Shankar, among others. Our show is brought to you by the great folks at Guitar Hummer and Sweetwater Music. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Shows. Scott's out on vacation. He's visiting his family back east. So I have the very lovely Monique Caravello coming in to co-host with me. Thank you so much for coming down, Monique.
Oh, are you kidding? You don't even have to pay me.
And we've just, you know, we have this amazing group here. And it was a surprise because some of them I didn't know they were coming in. And I am blown away.
Oh, yeah. So I said we had a mystery guest on my Facebook page.
But we have two
mystery guests. Two. Yes, we did.
So we'll get to them in just a minute. I just want to make a couple of announcements real quick. First of all, there's another Guitar Pedal Expo coming out on March 30th. For more information, www.guitarpedalexpo.com. Lonnie, we went to the last show and we saw some pretty amazing stuff. And if you're in the LA area, I think it's over by Van Nuys Airport, go down there. It's really cool and you get to talk to the manufacturers directly. It's really personable and I highly recommend it. Also, they're going to have a Dallas amp show in Texas, May 31st to June 1st. And you can get more information on that at www.ampshow.com. And both shows, if you want more information, you can contact Lonnie directly at lonnie@ampshow.com. Then, also coming up really quick, our good friend Norman from Norman's Rare Guitars, he's having a benefit concert for the Midnight Mission in downtown LA. And the name of the function is From Hollywood with Love, hosted by Kevin Nealon. And he just announced Richie Sambora, Phoebo, and John Jorgensen are going to be playing. Robin Ford, Joe Bonamassa, Jason Sine, who you can check our archives. We had him on the show. Amazing player. Jimmy Vivino, Tony Gala, Kirk Fletcher, Grant Geisman, who was also on a show here, and Jimmy Earle, and the amazing Del Casher. He was our first show and the inventor of the Wah-Wah pedal.
Where's this at?
It's over at the Musicians Institute. Oh. It's January 11th, 2014 at 7:30 p.m., 6752 Hollywood Boulevard, Hollywood 90028. And if you want to buy tickets, go to fromhollywoodwithlove.charityhappenings.org. That's where you go to get the tickets. It should be a pretty amazing show, and they always get other guests, so you never know who's going to show up there. So it should be a pretty amazing show. Anyway, we're getting ready. We'll start off in just a minute with our guests. I'm going to go ahead and run a commercial spot, and we'll be right back. There's a product out called Guitar Hummer that's designed to give you vintage sound without the vintage weight. We all know the more a guitar is played, the better the sound. Guitar Hummer is a guitar stand that simulates play by sending gentle vibrations through your guitar as it sits. Swap your guitar stand for Guitar Hummer, and in just a few weeks, you will notice deeper, richer tone and improved sustain. But don't take our word for it. Try it for 60 days, and if you don't notice a marked difference, return it for a full refund. Go to guitarhummer.com for more information or to purchase.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby from Sweetwater, inviting you to come to Sweetwater.com to check out our fantastic 24-day holiday giveaway. Every day from December 1st to December 21st, we'll be giving away fantastic prizes, including full-blown home studios from Avid, Presonus, guitar rigs from Line 6, PA gear from QSC, guitars from Martin, digital drums from Yamaha, and much more. Check it out at Sweetwater.com.
We'll be right back.
if that isn't a good epitome of tone, I don't know what is. That's from the album Lock Up the Wolves, the Ronnie James Dio. And we have the guitarist for that actually played that, Rowan Robertson. Thank you, Rowan, for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
It's a pleasure. And I might as well introduce everybody else that's in here. So get that all done, and then we'll get right into it. We have a very special guest, Phil Chen, bass player on one of my favorite albums of all time, Blow by Blow by Jeff Beck. But he's played on so many other things. He's worked with The Doors, Pete Townsend, Eric Clapton, Ray Charles, Jackson Browne. He was part of Brian May's Starfleet project with Eddie Van Halen.
I remember that.
And he played on Hot Legs and Young Turks with Rod Stewart. He was on those sessions, and he was in the video for Do You Think I'm Sexy?
That's right.
And Hot Legs.
That's right.
There you go. So, welcome, Phil. It's truly
a pleasure. Thank you very much.
And we're going to have Phil on. I've already set him up for February. We're going to have him on to talk all about his bass playing. Also, too, we have Kenji Oda, who plays come on closer to the mic. There we go. Plays sitar with Ravi Shankar, and he also plays, he's a mean guitar player, and he brought his 12-string. And both of these guys, just, I'll say it right now, they're both using Martins, beautiful Martins here. So, and I'll be posting pictures up of all this stuff. I took pictures of everything here.
And we're sitting with the original bass from Blow by Blow.
Yes.
It's a big deal.
And the same strings.
The same strings. Yeah. Has not changed them. I asked him why. He said they never broke. I said, okay.
why change it?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
So anyway, welcome all you guys. It's really a pleasure to have you here. But first, let's get right down to the gear. What were you using on this song? This was the intro to Wild One.
That was two JCM 800s. It was one JCM 800 with 75 watt Celestion 4x12 and a super overdrive pedal OD2 and a Charvel, a Sandemus Charvel with EMG pickup 81, I think, and a Floyd.
Oh, cool.
Oh my God, it was punchy.
Yeah, no, it's that sound to die for. So I'm going to ask you though, now, we're going to go through a bunch of different cuts of some of the pretty interesting stuff. What you gave me was pretty mind-blowing. There's some really interesting things. I'm going to ask you a little more about them after we play them.
Great.
But what are you using now?
I've got a Paul. I sometimes use ESP Eclipse guitar, which is a Les Paul kind of thing. And sometimes play through a Music Man Axis. And I've got a Ron Wood Tele, ESP Ron Wood Tele. Then I've got this Martin here. I've got a J45 Gibson. Which I've got here as well. If I break a string.
Now, are you still using the Marshalls, the JCM 800s, or have you used any other amps?
At the moment, I'm using my Crank 1980s head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is a really good head.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and I still love the Marshall thing, the JCM 800 and the JMP and Plexi.
So most of the session stuff, and we're going to go through there's some really cool cuts that we have here. You basically use the Marshall a lot in the studio, or do you use anything more exotic?
I think all those things were different amps that they would have had in the studio, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have to go track by track.
Now, when you joined Dio, and everybody go to his website, www.rowanrobertson.com, you can hear the whole story about it, how he got in, because he was only 17 at the time. Obviously, for live, you had to emulate the previous guitar work, the guitar player's work. But when you went in the studio to doing Lock Up the Wolves, did they want you to sound like him, or did they just let you do what you want to do?
No, Ronnie was great right from the beginning. He just told me, he said, I hired you to do what you do, and you're great, and you're going to write great, you're going to play great, and that's it. He never put any constraints on me. Just positivity. That's all he ever.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Now, so there was no, because I know everybody, it says in the bio too, that there was a lot of speculation. Who is this kid? He's, he's got a lot to live up to, but that's kind of cool that he lets you just go for it and just be you.
Yeah.
That's quite a story of perseverance. You contacted them several times.
I contacted them twice. Yeah. Initially I sent a tape to the record company And then they sent it back to me saying they didn't need a guitar player and they didn't even listen to the tape, whatever. And then so I sent it to Dio's fan club in Los Angeles, and then promptly forgot about it, forgot about sending it. And they flew me over for an audition.
Wow.
Six months later.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wow. So that now you after, well, we're going to play another cut in a minute. Well, actually, I might as well just play it right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play the lead from Wild One. And this is a pretty interesting lead.
Like a baby rattlesnake doesn't want to let go of the venom. Just
now that
going.
that was the Charvel, right? That was the Charvel.
Yeah, that was right. No, that was a a Jackson prototype guitar with a scalloped neck. In fact, there's a picture of that on my MySpace, that guitar, and we taped up the headstock so the strings wouldn't ring for the tapping part at the end, which was actually doubled with Jens Johansson, the keyboard player. And actually, I made a YouTube video not too long ago with a friend of mine teaching that video. It's out there on YouTube. If you just, you know, type in Wild One, Rowan Robertson solo, it's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you did some of the... Now, that one, I don't think you doubled. But did you do some of the stuff similar to like what Randy Rhoads did, where he triple-tracked the same lead to get it fatter?
No.
Because your sound is pretty... No. On the next cut that I'll play, there it's pretty just meaty and full.
Yeah, we had the producer. Well, Ronnie co-produced it with Tony Platt, and Tony Platt did Back in Black and Catch a Fire, Bob Marley. So he was a wonderful engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing. No, it was you said you overdubbed a couple of that, but how, you know, was that pretty off the cuff, that lead, or did you really plan it out?
No, that was what they like to do is you would record three leads off the cuff and then he would comp them together. So there's a lot of comping that went together in those leads. You know, the first one's good for the first 20 seconds or whatever, but it was always improvised.
Okay.
But we just picked the best bits and sort of comp them together.
And live, you were basically allowed to just go. You didn't have to totally emulate that.
No.
Because some bands... Yeah. They want it exactly like the album, right. Some don't.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was pretty
I tried to stay close to Tony Iommi or Viv Campbell or some of the great solos of Ritchie Blackmore.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I would try and stay close to those.
Oh, okay. No, that's pretty interesting. Mm. The when you played live now, you just used... Did you use the... At that time, you used the 800s, two of them?
No, I had... started off with the 800s. Then we had a VHT power amp.
Okay.
And a Marshall 2000 preamp and a Bradshaw system with some Yamaha delay in there and ART multiverb.
Okay. Did you...
Wild pedal.
Any particular Marshall cabs, just straight Celestians, nothing?
Ronnie had about 8 stacks of Marshall gear and I always just used his stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But the rack and the heads were your... That was your stuff?
Yeah. No, the heads were his.
The heads were his.
Yeah, same one they used on the Holy Diver and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So was there much difference between the VHT heads and the Marshall?
Well, the VHT was just the power amp. And I had just a Marshall preamp and a VHT.
So you used that little...
That was for the touring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it didn't... Yeah. So it was pretty...
Great sound.
But you didn't push the tube, the power tubes as much. Were you trying
Probably
to distort
not,
those?
No. It was... I don't know. It was just on.
Just on, but, yeah.
VHT power amp.
Any particular pedals that you used?
MXR Phaser. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in that solo, I did a little tribute to Eddie Van Halen in there with the Phaser on the you know, like Atomic Punk kind sort of thing. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people with the tapping, they like the slow phase. It articulates it more. You hear the notes. It makes it clear.
Right. Yeah.
I think that I've heard a lot of guys that play the Van Halen style. That's why they use that. That's what they've told me.
Yeah.
Any delays?
Yeah, we did have delays on the live rig, but the main sound was just, oh, you know what we used to do is have two stacks and we put about 50 milliseconds or 100 milliseconds between them.
Mm-hmm.
So it thickened it up.
Just a little bit, but yeah, you didn't use any long delays or anything strange.
I think I had a patch to kick in for a long delay. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you still have your Bradshaw rigs?
I think it's with my friend in Austin in his garage, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
We had Bob Bradshaw. He's an amazing guy, and some of the rigs that he does, that's pretty amazing. Do you find now that how do you approach playing live now than from back then? I mean, obviously, we're seeing a trend to smaller amps, more control on stage. Are you seeing that now in the stuff that you're playing, or are you still pretty,
I'd still opt for a half stack.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Choice. Yeah.
Are you using a 100-watt head or a 50-watt head?
100.
100-watt head.
Yeah.
So, okay. So yeah. it's still pretty loud on stage.
Yeah.
The volume is pretty loud.
Yeah.
Okay. Because now with the guitars, you're using a whole different set of guitars from before. Are you, are they, why the change to like a Les Paul?
I just, like so many other players that played Strats of my time, we just sort of, a lot of us just decided that the Les Paul was the way to go, I guess. So I got into the Les Paul for a while and now I like both.
Okay.
I like both.
But your Les Pauls are all humbuckers. Have you ever tried the P90s?
I've tried them, yeah. Yeah. Oh, they're wonderful, yeah. But they're not really, that's not really for hard rock, is it? So much. Well, I suppose you could use it for hard rock.
Well, I was just listening to the, they came out with the complete recordings of Humble Pie, Rock in the Fillmore.
Nice.
All four sets.
Right.
Nice.
And it's just, he's using SG Custom, I think, Marriott. He has a white SG triple pickup. And then, of course, Frampton's using his three pickup Les Paul, just straight Marshall.
Oh, sick. Right.
the tone to die for.
Yeah. No.
But I mean, it was, so I'm just curious if that's the reason. I mean, that they were using
humbuckers. That's the holy grail, isn't it? Like a ham wide Marshall and a.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the brown sound.
I don't even use my pedal board when I have the gold top going through my JMP 50 at home.
Nice. You don't need
it. It just sounds great.
You don't need it.
Speaking real quick, I'm going to digress. What's the situation? Have you purpleized John Five's.
Oh, John Five, are you listening? It's in progress, and I think it's about a week away from being done. Marshalls are notorious for using these little bolts that kind of spread when you tap them in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a careful extraction of bolts right now, and that's the biggest time-consuming part of it. After that, I'm going to wrap her in purple and put her back together, and she'll be good.
Just to let you know, he likes to collect different color Marshalls.
Oh,
and
nice.
She purpleizes all her amps.
Oh, right.
So she has purple Tolex. So on the air, we were talking about that, and he just want one.
He wanted orange, but we found out that Marshall does not make orange elephant. They only make red, purple, white, and...
But I think somebody else makes it an orange, don't they?
What's the other color?
There's red. There's a red
black.
One.
Black, red, black, white.
Yeah.
And purple.
So
that's it.
Yeah, nice. So he said, I'm sending over my Marshall head to have her purpleize it. So that's the specs. Anyway, I digress.
He would be horrified if he saw it right now. It's everywhere.
So. Now, let me throw this out to everybody, too. From back in the day when, maybe 20 years ago, have your rigs, and I'm asking everybody here, just go, I mean, we already talked with Rowan, but Kenji and Phil, what's changed, if any? In your rig from before to now, do you find yourself are using a smaller setup out live, or use a big setup, or?
Well, the big setup, they sound really great, but modern technology has dropped the size and the weight, and they have made them really much, powerful. You can get like a 900 watt, a 1000 watt amp that weighs like 8 ounces,
Oh, yeah. We had Pat Quilter on, Quilter Amps, and he had this little amp with an 8-inch speaker, 200 watts RMS Class D.
That's crazy.
The thing was loud. I mean, it with the little 8-inch speaker, it was still loud, but you can add an extension speaker, 200 watts clean RMS.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's amazing.
1,000 watts, and it fits in your back pocket, right?
And it
doesn't break your back.
Size of an iPod.
Now, when you played in the past, and we're talking with Phil right now, Were you into biamping and triamping your bass? Did you
no,
do that? Or
not,
you just used a straight?
No, I just whatever was there.
What did you use? Or were you using SVTs? Or
yeah, SVT.
Okay.
And then after went to SWR.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, when I'm on tour with the Doors, we use whatever is there. Maybe Eden or, you know, Trace Elliott or whatever was there. But I always found out that doesn't matter. It's the groove and the feeling mm-hmm. that comes mm-hmm. from the musician. Because, you mm-hmm. know, come on, let's face it, Jimi Hendrix uses a twirly cord, right?
Yeah, he uses
one of the cheapest. So, yeah. But it didn't matter. It's just like, I mean, for me, you know, I know.
Well, I heard, speaking of blow by blow, this was a story that I had heard about Jeff Beck. Somebody had gone in the studio between takes. You know, he wasn't there at the time. And the guy looked at the Strat and he said, that thing looked like just crap. And he said it looked like it was ready to fall apart. And then you listen to the album. It's just amazing. I mean, it's just, you know, the guitar was, it was him. It's all in his hands and
exactly.
his playing. But, yeah, that was the little story there. But in the studio, what kind of amp did you use? Use same thing, or did you use a Fender or a small?
No, usually use a B15, and you use a DI box.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the mic it up.
And that's what you used on Blow by Blow.
Yeah. And then, well, you know, they hand to George Martin, and I think it's Jeff. Engineer, so
Jeff Emmerich.
Yeah, Jeff Emmerich. So I mean,
they put you mostly direct.
Well, yeah, you know, the same thing with Rod. Also, a lot of the stuff with B15, and then they had Andy Johns, and mm-hmm. he usually takes maybe 3 minutes, but 2 minutes, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd swear it and he'd tell me to leave the room. But he get the greatest sound for bass. I mean, you know, so if mm-hmm. when you're in the hands of great engineer, you don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sadly, we lost him last year.
Andy Jones,
he passed away last year.
Wow,
big loss.
Yeah, he was a pretty amazing producer in history, part of the history. Kenji, what are you using? I mean, now I see you with a lot of acoustic stuff, but I assume you play electric too.
Yeah, electric too. Yeah.
So, what do you use? What is your what amps do you use?
These days, I'm using like a Fender, like a Deluxe Reverb.
Mm-hmm. Deluxe.
And I got Marshall Combo.
Mm-hmm.
But I like more clean sound these days, getting older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But before, earlier on, did you use bigger stuff?
Oh, yeah. When I was like playing around Hollywood, I was mm-hmm. like carrying a Marshall stack every day. I can't believe it. I was carrying every day.
Yeah, no, that's one thing. They are heavy. They are very heavy. So you're using Fender now. You're using a lot more Fender.
Yeah, because I'm playing like a smaller clubs and the stuff. Then, you know, Marshall is going to be too loud.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to get at me. And
yeah, no, that's true. Now, you brought in two, and we're going to hear it a little bit. He brought in one of his sitars. Did you use a pickup on the sitars when you toured, or did you just mic them?
Yeah, if I play on the live, I put the contact pickup. And but without it sounds acoustically better, so I'm not using it today.
Yeah, no, it sounds beautiful, and it's a little guy, it's a smaller one. But you always went direct then, so you didn't have an amp on the stage when you played.
It depends. If I have like a, you know, very small gig, I use my small amp.
Mm-hmm.
But like a little middle, you know, crowd, they have like a line in.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have a beautiful 12-string Martin here, but what you use? What electric guitars do you use?
Electric guitar.
Or you don't use it?
I use it.
But what type do you use?
I like the humbucking pickup now.
Mm-hmm.
I have like a 4-lead Smith and some Fender Telecaster Deluxe.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I got lots of Strat. I have 4 Strats and 2 Telecaster and...
Mm-hmm. On your Telecasters, are they single?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I thought everybody was going to go to the single coil, like the P90. I was seeing a resurgence because Frampton came out with a guitar with 3 single coils, but it seems like everybody's back to the humbuckers. It's an interesting trend, but I'm seeing that more and more now. A lot of the players, especially more hard rock bass, they're using that more.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead, and I'm going to play another clip from Dio real quick, and then we're going to move on to the other gigs that you had done.
Great.
This is the lead for Hey Angel. So it's pretty interesting stuff here. Take a listen. Now, that's just one guitar. You didn't double that, or anything?
Yeah, one guitar.
It's pretty solid. I mean, for a minute.
Oh, you mean the rhythm guitar? The rhythm guitar is two guitars.
You're two. Okay. Yeah. Now, you're the lead guitar. You're using the jacks in there?
Probably the Charvel.
The Charvel?
Yeah.
Okay. What about the rhythm guitars?
The main guitars on the album was the black Sandima Charvel and a couple of Jacksons. But the black Sandima Chardell, that was the most used.
So you never used any Pauls, Les Pauls?
No. Couldn't play them back then. I couldn't play them.
Oh, really? Okay,
was it an image thing?
No, they just didn't speak to me like a Strat did back then.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's just the sound. It's just, and you did, that's it. That's all you, all those guitars.
Yeah. Two rhythms and one up the middle, the lead.
All right, now I'm going to...
An interesting little anecdote about the end of that solo. I don't know if I'm jumping in, but you know on Jeff Beck's Beck's Bolero,
mm-hmm.
and he does that... Whoops, he does that...
Mm-hmm.
That little thing. I heard Jakey Lee doing that on a solo of his because he was a big Beck fan, and then that's me copying Jake. For a lick on there, so that lick goes all the way back to Beck on that one.
Oh, that's cool. That's really.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. That's kind of an interesting little tip there. But yeah, I heard that in the lead. That's really good. The now I want to play something that's just totally left field for hearing all these heavy metal guitar players because you had done a lot of session work after Dio. You were doing a lot of session work, and this is a clip that you had sent me. I'm going to play the opening for it, and then I'll tell you who it is. I'm not going to say who it is, but I'm going to play this, and then I'll explain what was happening, and we'll talk about that.
I wondered why I had the blues, so I turned on the evening news. Children running from their school, cause of some damn fool who had no morals they must prove. Another kid laid in.
Now, that's Billy Ray Cyrus. And the album was called
Change My Mind.
And you're doing the acoustic guitars in that.
Yeah.
Now, that's an interesting session. What were you using? Because you doubled the guitars?
Yeah, that was the producer's Taylor guitar.
Oh, wow. That's
Brandon Friesen's Taylor guitar.
It's a beautiful sound.
It's gorgeous, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that session. Was that all pretty written out or pretty freeform? Or they let you?
I can't remember whether I came up with that part. I think I did. I think I came up with the guitar part. And then Brandon just had me in the top room of his house and on the headphones and just stopping me, you know, tightening things up. And that took a couple of hours to get that. We just got it super tight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great to work with, the producer. But that was it. Yeah, it was just me in the top room and with a pair of headphones on in front of one microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's a beautiful sound, and that it's just those guitars sound really, really great.
Yeah.
The now is that the did you play on any other stuff on Billy's stuff?
I did sort of the fairy dust parts and some and riffs on the whole album.
Mm-hmm.
That they had Jonzo West and this great guitar player plays for Scooter Jennings do a lot of the guitar work on it, and then they brought me in to do some of the more like rock guitar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And bits of solos and vibey stuff. Mm-hmm. And a bit of acoustic.
No, that's a great sound. Now let's talk a little bit about your session work now. So you did some interesting stuff. You were doing sessions on and off between the other bands that you were in.
Mm.
What was the most bizarre session that you did?
Bizarre session.
I mean, where you had to do something really strange.
I don't know. Make the tea.
cook.
I can't think of anything. He's the session man over here. I didn't do a lot of sessions, to be honest. I did a few for a Japanese producer called Daisuke Hinata,
okay.
But that Billy thing came out of the blue. I haven't done a lot of session work, actually.
Oh, okay.
I've always been in bands, really.
Oh, okay. That's cool. No, that's good. I do have a little story for you. You'll relate to this. It was a session I had to do. We were doing a aerobic record, and they were doing sound likes because you can't, you know, to buy the licensing to produce. It was just outrageous. And they wanted to do Pac-Man Fever. I don't know if you remember the song, but the little Pac-Man sound from the game. And so we were going to use the sound from the game, and legal came in, the company that was producing it, and they're like, you can't use it. They won't let you use it. So we're in the studio like, what are we going to do? Because the artist that was doing the aerobic thing wanted it. It's like it. So true story, took the bass. I had a Rickenbacker bass, and I used my pick and just scraped the strings, and it got the sound. And the legal challenged us, and we showed them that, that I created the sound. So we were clear, but they just didn't believe it. But great moments in studio history, bass playing.
Oh, no, that's not it.
It works. You need the low frequency of the bass, but it was actually, it worked. I still don't even remember how I thought of that. Yeah, we were just trying to figure out what to do, but I did the whole thing. It was pretty amazing. Anyway, that was a bizarre one. That was a strange
I want to hear that now.
I'll pull the clip out, and we'll post it up on the website. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break right now, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hear some interesting music live coming back from the commercial. So just hang on a second. We'll be right back. Do you want to get the best possible tone from your acoustic instrument? Guitar Hummer is a guitar stand that does more than just rest your guitar. It creates a gentle but continuous vibration that is equivalent to playing your instrument all day, every day. This concentrates years of seasoning into mere weeks, improving tone and sustain. You may not be able to afford a vintage guitar, but you now can achieve vintage sound. But don't take our word for it. Try it for 60 days, and if you don't notice a marked difference, return it for a full refund. Go to guitarhummer.com for more information or to purchase.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby from Sweetwater, inviting you to come to Sweetwater.com to check out our fantastic 24-day holiday giveaway. Every day from December 1st to December 21st, we'll be giving away fantastic prizes, including full-blown home studios from Avid, Presonus, guitar rigs from Line 6, PA gear from QSC, guitars from Martin, digital drums from Yamaha, and much more. Check it out at Sweetwater.com.
are back. Thanks, Monique, for singing for us. Great tune.
Yeah,
<buddy. laughs> Anyway, now let's move on after Dio. Let's go to life after Dio. You had played in a band called Violet's Demise. Can you tell me a little bit of the background? Because I understood you, it was called something else, and then the album was shelved, and then it came out later?
Yeah, it was called Violet's Demise, and it was shelved by Atlantic because we got caught up in the sort of whole move. You know, when grunge music came out, and I think the company was bought for AOL stock or sold for AOL stock, and we never got, the album never came out. So then we printed up a few under the name Logan Robertson because only Logan's the singer, who you might know from the Lynch Mob, George mm-hmm. Lynch, and so we've released it under Logan Robertson. Well, we didn't release it, but we just printed up a few. But we'd like to get a proper release on it.
Okay, I want to play a little bit now. This I'm going to have a question for you. Mm. I'm going to play the song Beggar's Day, and. I got to ask you how you did this. This is very interesting.
It was interesting.
Yes,
was interesting.
Here we go.
I like that.
I had mentioned this to Rowan before the show that I was going to ask him about this, and he was trying to remember what he had done. How did you get that sound? It sounds kind of like a slide, but it's not. I'm not hearing the slide noise.
You mean in the riff?
That riff. I mean, where you're bending that thing, you're going all over the place.
Well, what it came from was D major. What it came from was Poor Boy, Long Ways from Home, which is John Fay.
Okay.
And then that riff came from there, which is like this, a little classically bit kind of. And then the riff itself is this. It's a.
So you're just bending it.
Yeah.
He's going like three strings up, bending that string.
Yeah, so we're just bending that height, that the A string up at the 10th fret. And then, yeah, getting
it's a great.
It's kind of like emulating the sitar.
I'm just trying to figure. Yeah, it's like it gets it. But the which guitar were you using for that?
That was actually a Tyler. Tyler?
A Tyler?
Tyler. Did they make acoustics, Tylers? I think they did. You know, because we did the demo with the J200, mm-hmm. Gibson J200. But that was like I think it was a.
I want to say yes because I thought I remembered working on one, but I'm not sure.
I've heard the name, but I've never seen.
Oh, they
one.
Were great guitars, weren't they, Monique? Tyler.
If I'm recalling the one that I'm thinking of, yes.
Anyway, I think it was.
It's obscure. You don't see them very often.
Yeah, they were sort of a boutique-y guitar in the 90s.
Yeah.
Now, there you can hear a phase shifter in the background. Was that done post, or was that electric acoustic that was phased or something? Because you have several guitars in there.
Yeah, I think, well, the producer for that we were fortunate enough to work with was Dave Jordan. Who's obviously, you know, a legendary producer. And he used to like to put all effects through the speakers. I don't think we did anything post. Everything, all effects were, you know, coming out of the...
So he was using some type of device in the board, or were you using a pedal?
Pedals. It was all pedals.
Were you using the pedal? Yeah. Do you remember what that was? Was that an MXR?
You know what it might have been? What was that? The Small Stone. Small Stone phaser. I think it was Small Stone. Okay. Yeah.
And then you sneak in this guitar that doubles the riff.
Yeah.
What were you using there?
That's Les Paul and Marshall.
Straight cranked, or were you using a fuzz tone on that?
Oh, straight. That was all straight. Wow, yeah. And that's that same Marshall that they used for like Alice in Chains Rooster and all that. That's that same, that they had a great Marshall head.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better. It's kind of interesting.
Just doesn't get better than that. Sorry.
It has a lot of buzz to it. I mean, it's a different sound. And I would have thought it would have been a fuzz tone, but it's great. That's a great tone, though.
Thanks.
And then it gets like super huge. And it's
yeah, and then the gong comes in.
So you did, what was the... with that group, what type of, how would you classify that?
It was kind of, you know, heady psychedelic blues.
Oh, okay. Maybe. So when you played, you guys played live a lot with that group, or you never?
No, we never gigged.
Have you done any of those songs live?
Actually, funnily enough, me and the singer only, we just did a gig acoustically. Then we did that song, Supporting Queens,
oh,
right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And oh,
hopefully
wow.
We'll do some more as well.
Because I'm like, how would he do this live? It's like, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's
with
pretty...
many strings.
Well, that whole guitar style, and that came a lot from those solo guitar pieces, like, as I said, like John Fahey and mm-hmm. John Renbourn, those types of contemporary folk guitar guys.
So you folk was a big influence on you? Then.
Yeah, one of my first teachers taught me all those guitar pieces, yeah.
Well, let's go right through it then. What were your big influence? I mean, obviously you were saying Ritchie Blackmore, and
yeah.
you obviously Jakey Lee, and then the classics, Clapton,
yeah.
Page,
suppose,
all those guys.
I suppose the biggies would be Ritchie Blackmore, Angus Young, Brian May, Eddie Van Halen, Hendrix. They would be the biggies, and then after then, the shred guys like Yngwie and...
okay.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that you have a strong folk... It comes yeah. through on some of the stuff that you're playing. You can hear it.
Yeah, because what we did... Well, what I did on that guitar stuff was to take that folk kind of approach on the guitar, but just crank it through a Marshall mm-hmm. with like open tunings and stuff. It's very Page. But I wasn't a big Page fan at that time, as mm-hmm. I am now. I love Zeppelin now.
Yeah. No. But now, when you write, do you write acoustically or do you usually pull out electric and play...
Either way,
it doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Yeah, just whenever the inspiration strikes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, then, let's go on to the next group. I think this is the group you're playing now, DC4, is that?
Yeah.
That's your current
DC4's
group.
DC4's current group.
Okay,
right.
I'm going to play a clip from this. This is the lead part for it. And this is called Broken Soul.
Yeah.
So take a listen to this. Mm-hmm. Just blistering. Thanks. Now, what are you using in there?
That's my Les Paul, Mary Ford Les Paul through a JMP-50.
Nice. Yeah, but cool. You're getting some pretty radical bends. Is that just a stock tailpiece, or you're just bending all of that, or is there a whammy bar on there?
No, that's just a stock pull.
The tone of that is just
great,
killer.
Thanks. And Bill Metoyer has produced it, and he's got great sounds.
Mm-hmm. And now are you using that kind of a setup live for that one, or you're using the
yeah I used the crank
for that one, but you're using the Les Paul.
Oh, sorry, the crank's the amplifier, the crank
right.
What, yeah, and then live I mostly use my ESP Eclipse.
Okay,
which is,
but in the studio was the Marshall.
That was the Marshall.
Yeah, the Marshall. Okay, so the crank gets you pretty close to that sound then.
Pretty close. It's like a modded JMP.
Oh, wow. Crank, that's very interesting.
Mm. The company's gone now, though. Or they might be coming back.
Were they at NAMM last year? I don't remember if I saw them. I thought somebody bought them, I thought.
Yeah, I think they bought them.
I was so busy jumping around. I hardly saw anything last year. I was so disappointed. Three 16-hour days, my feet were killing me, and I'm thinking, what did I see?
Yeah, well, we're going to see a big thing for NAMM coming up. You heard that Yamaha bought Line 6.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. That's going to – they're supposed to stay – I wonder how much Line 6 is going to end up in Yamaha stuff that, you know, it usually filters through, which will be kind of cool. It'll be interesting because their amp simulators are pretty good. Mm-hmm. But the Anyway, so DC4 is now presently the band that you're playing with now. That song is from Electric Ministry. Is that an EP?
That's a full length.
A full length. It's a full length album. Okay. Yeah. And that's available on...
The DC4Rocks.com.
Okay.
www.dc4rocks.com.
Okay. Can you get that on iTunes or Amazon?
Yeah, I think it's available on iTunes and other digital. Yeah, it's pretty easy to find.
Oh, okay. No, that's cool. And is there any place any gigs that we can mention on the air?
I didn't come prepared, I'm afraid. Okay. We've got one coming up in Vegas. And we're playing at the Whiskey next month. Whiskey, yeah.
Okay, we'll post that up on the... Okay. Just let us know and we'll put it up on the Flow Guitar site. And you're using the... For DC4, you're using the Les Paul type sound. You're going for that.
And the other guitar player, Jeff Duncan in DC4, he plays with Armored Saint as well.
Mm-hmm. What's he using?
He used same. So, we both use that same type of setup.
Now, this is an interesting, because I've seen people that use similar, like they have both like Marshall stacks and Les Pauls. What do you do? Is it all in your hands that make you guys sound different so that you get a little bit of a, you can.
Yeah, we've got different sounds.
Okay. So it's all the way it's all in the fingers and stuff. So, okay. Well, no, that's it's some great stuff. The stuff that you sent me, played. It's just amazing. And I think that I can honestly say you're really pushing you're going into other areas. I mean, some of the things that you're doing with the tunings and stuff, I think was great. And I love that bending. That was kind of cool. I really liked that on that song.
Thanks.
So anyway, what I want to do, we're almost at the end and I want to let the guys play out. We're going to do a little jam and we're going to have over there with Kenji, I want to hear this sitar because it's.
I'm going to go get a drummer and switch off with him.
Okay, but before I do that, while everybody's tuning up and stuff, I just want to give information out where you can check out everybody. Rowan Robertson's on Facebook. Just look up Rowan Robertson, and you can check him out at www.rowanrobertson.com, and then get information about him, his bio, what music's out, what DC4 is doing. Phil Chen is on Facebook, so check him out. And I just liked your page today, so it's there. And
thank you.
You should have no problem. Kenji, you are you on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can find Kenji Oda, OTA, on Facebook. Check him out. And Monique, you can check out Monique Caravello. And if you need any work, if you need your amp purpleized. She worked on my Les Paul, and it sounds amazing. She changed the wiring to the 50s-type wiring on the my Les Paul and fixed my pickups. I didn't realize my pickups were badly out of phase. I was getting a really strange sound out of them. She cleaned it all up, and it plays great. So check out Monique Caravello at Facebook. And if you need any work done, she's great. And if you want your amp purple, she's the girl to go to. Okay, they're finishing up tuning. I want to thank everybody for being on before we go out. We're going to go out with the music. Everybody, have a great holiday, and we will see you guys all next week. But here we go. Kenji.